The Oak Ridge Symphony is presenting a concert this Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. and will be held at the First United Methodist Church of Oak Ridge. The title of the concert is Baroque Bonanza and features numerous works from the Baroque era, including several double concertos. And here to talk with me today about this concert is music director and conductor of the Oak Ridge Symphony, Dan Alcott. Welcome, Dan. As always, a great pleasure to have you here.
It's nice to be back. Thank you, Melanie.
This concert is entitled Baroque Bonanza, obviously because it puts a spotlight on several pieces of music from the Baroque era. Tell us a little bit about this period of time and music.
Well, this is a fun opportunity for us to explore backwards a little bit. One of the things I like about being a conductor is I have about a 400-year time span of music from which I get to program things. And so we have been doing one concert a year with a smaller orchestra in Oak Ridge, usually in the First Methodist Church, because it's a great acoustical environment. And so this year we're looking at the Baroque era. Baroque is actually kind of a funny word. It was actually a derogatory term that was used to call things that were a little bit gauchely over adorned, maybe. And Rousseau, when he talked about Baroque music, talked about it as lacking melody, clanging harmonies, and bad intonation, because it was so, the music is actually derived more from horizontal linear motion than from vertical harmonies. But that's why we all love it, because there's kind of a delayed sense of gratification when you get to a harmonic resolution. So people, that's why Bach can wind things together so well and we keep our attention.
A lot of people feel that Baroque music is relaxing or sometimes helps them to concentrate. Why do you think this is?
Well, I think it was the writer Colette who said that Bach is kind of like heaven's sewing machine. You know, there's this great rhythmic motor kind of weaving together this wonderful tapestry of sound. And I think that's a big part of it. And because the rhythm is consistent and recognized, whether it's a slow or a fast rhythm, we all have a very good sense of what is called inductive rhythm. And so I think people feel attached to it. That's a natural human phenomenon that we're able to pick up rhythm. So people enjoy Baroque music that way.
What pieces are going to be in the concert?
Well, there's a pretty good variety of pieces. Let's talk about the double concertos, because that's kind of fun. People don't get to see double concertos a lot. And we've already featured once this fall, we did Brahms double concerto. So on this concert, there are three concertos on the second half of the program. One is a double concerto for two cellos by Vivaldi, and I'm actually going to be performing with my friend Isan Kartal on that piece, and that's a lot of fun. People, the Vivaldi concertos have so much energy, people recognize that as soon as they hear them and really tap into it. And this is a great piece because a lot of young cellists play the first movement of this. So if you're listening and you're a cellist, or your parents want to take you to a concert, this is a great chance to hear that whole piece and to give a chance for Isan and I to play the cello. And then the second concerto is the Bach double violin concerto. And again, it's the same thing. A lot of young violinists have played one movement of this piece, so I would really encourage their parents to bring them to this concert and get a chance to hear Karen Kartal, who's our concertmaster, and our associate concertmaster, Susan Edelman, are going to play the solos on that. That's just a beautiful piece. I mean, it is probably the most famous of the pieces we're playing. And then we're going to end the concert with another piece by Vivaldi, which is for two violins and cello, and it's another Concerto Grosso. So a lot of exciting string playing on the second half of the concert.
Okay, so several members of the symphony are actually featured as soloists, including you yourself, as you mentioned. How do you lead the orchestra and perform at the same time?
Well, I've done it before. Obviously, in the Baroque music, there was the leader of the group was not necessarily designated. A lot of times it was maybe somebody at a keyboard, and it kind of changed around. And in fact, a lot of the music was written in the time period without real assignations to parts. It's like there's two high parts, and because like if you had a bassoon player rather than a cellist, you know, in your band or whatever. So it's kind of fun for me to do that. And this kind of music can be played with a more minimal leadership. It's really more about the rehearsal. So what I'm really doing is leading in rehearsal, and then I just want us to have a great time playing. But it is kind of fun to kind of turn around and figure out how to make things work. It's exciting. I like it. And it, for me, it's a great, I mean, I love to play the cello. I've played the cello for a long time, and I still play. And so this is a fun time to get to play with my colleagues.
Will any of the soloists be performing on period instruments?
No, we're not. This is one of those things where we've learned a lot from period instrument performance, but our concert halls are not necessarily really that favorable toward it. And in fact, it's a very different instrument. And so to get it matched group of 18 or so instruments that we would need for this concert would be a little bit prohibitive. And it's not the specialty of all these people, so we'll do our best to give the music justice.
There are two pieces by Mozart on the concert.
You notice that he's not from the Baroque era,
right? He's not. Explain this.
Well, Mozart actually was a big fan of Baroque music, but the genesis of this started with every year I'm a judge in a competition in Oak Ridge called the Youth Aliyah Competition. It's a young people's competition. And if there are people on that concert or in that competition that I deem, you know, worthy of maybe performing with the Oak Ridge Symphony, then I kind of pick a few. And we had a violist play on our free family concert earlier this year. But last year, I heard a singer, Megan Mays, sing Exultate Jubilate. And I was so impressed with her. And I thought, well, this would be a great opportunity to give her a chance to sing with an orchestra. And so I picked that piece. And then, you know, that kind of clicked with all the Baroque stuff. Mozart was a huge fan of Baroque music. And in fact, through the auspices of a man named Baron von Swieten, who, if you remember in Amadeus, he was the nice guy with the least crazy wig, who kind of liked Mozart. He actually made available the library, the Royal Library. There's a collection of all these scores, and he showed Mozart. Mozart then learned about, you know, got to see Bach's music there. And, of course, Mozart had been in Italy and had studied a lot of Baroque music there. In fact, had taken counterpoint tests, which all of our music students like to say he failed. But anyway, so that, you know, made sense. So I found another piece that's an adagio and a fugue, and it's a Baroque piece, basically, but by Mozart. Mozart actually arranged a lot of Bach's keyboard music for string ensembles. So I thought this is a neat connection to do that.
And there's going to be a work by Henry Purcell on the concert as well, the suite from the Fairy Queen.
Right. Purcell is a little bit of an undersung composer as far as I'm concerned. I think he's a great composer, and this was actually the most successful opera of its time in England. And it's based on basically the same story as Midsummer Night's Dream, a lot of those characters and fairies and stuff. Just a great opportunity to play some great music. They were called semi-operas. They were less fully sung than Italian-style operas. But what a great opportunity to play something by Purcell. People should know his music a little bit more. It's just gorgeous.
How did you come up with this theme, by the way?
Baroque Bonanza?
Yeah.
Basically, it's about the building. This is such a great little building. We've had several concerts there. It's a wonderful atmosphere. And so, you know, sometimes you walk into a room and you think this, and you hear the sound and we're performing, and I thought this would be a great place to do an all Baroque concert. And it's great to feature some of my friends in the orchestra.
This concert is taking place on Valentine's weekend. Is this romantic music? Like, would this make a good date night?
Oh, I think it'd be a great date night. Because first of all, it's an more intimate environment than most of our concert experiences. And the music is an intimate experience also. There's fewer players, and I think it's just a great... That's the thing I love about being able to be in a room like that and see people, be together with people. That's a great reason for concerts anyway. As much as I love listening to music on WUOT, there's nothing like live music to bring people together. So, and a neat thing that we're doing also is we're having a run-out concert Sunday evening. We're going to repeat the concert at Tellico Community Church as a part of their music series, and that's at 7 o'clock on Sunday at Tellico Community Church.
Okay, so you have two chances to hear this program. What's coming up for the remainder of your season?
Oh, we have an exciting season. In March, I'm excited that our choir gets to sing two pieces by Verdi, and Katie Wolfson is going to sing a movement from Goretzky's Symphony of Sorrowful Songs, which was a huge hit in the 90s. It was like a number one bestseller. So this is a chance. You don't get a chance to hear that piece live, and this is a chance to hear some of that. And then Shostakovich Symphony No. 9. That's going to be exciting. In April, we'll finish our season with a concert of movie music because it's a double feature night. You know, everything in our season has some kind of double connotation. So that's a great chance to hear some wonderful music from James Bond to Schindler's List, beautiful violin solo. A lot of great music on that program, too.
I've been speaking with Dan Alcott, music director and conductor of the Oak Ridge Symphony, about their concert taking place this Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Once again, it will be held at First United Methodist Church of Oak Ridge. And also, a concert being given on February 16th at 7 p.m. at Tellico Village Community Church. More information is available at 483-5569 or online at orcma.org.